Translation and Purport by His Divine Grace, Lady Sri Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then inquired, out of all liberated persons, who should be accepted as the greatest? Ramananda Roy replied, he who has love for Krishna has attained the topmost liberation. Purport. In Srimad Bhagavatam 6.14.5 it is said, Muktanam apisiddhanam narayana parayana sudulabha prasanatma gotish api maha muni. And the translation is, O great sage, of the many millions of liberated persons and of the millions who have attained perfection, he who is a devotee of Lord Narayan is very, very rare. Indeed, he is the most perfect and peaceful person. Om Jnanatimirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshus Unmeditam Jena Tasmai Shri Guru Venaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pastaya Bhutale Shimati Bhakti Vidanta Swami Iti Ramine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nivaje Sasunyavadi Pastachade Satarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Chivasti Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Mastaya Bhutale Shimati Shivaram Swami Iti Namine Pancha Kaupat Rubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhye Vacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Before we begin, I just want to ask permission from everyone that I could speak, especially those that are senior to me. So we're continuing with the series of questions by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Ramananda Roy about which is the greatest. He's throwing all these questions. The reason for him asking, well, one of the reasons is to differentiate the difference between material existence and spiritual existence, which is the greatest. So today, the question is, of all the liberated persons, who should be accepted as the greatest? And Ramananda Roy said, he who has love for Krishna is the greatest. So I'm going to, Srila Prabhupada quotes the verse from Srimad Bhagavatam 6.14.5. So I'm just going to read the first two paragraphs of the purport because I'm going to kind of be speaking on that. So this is the purport, where the translation is, O great sage, among many millions who have liberated and perfect knowledge of liberation, one may be a devotee of Lord Narayan or Krishna, such devotees who are fully peaceful are extremely rare. So the purport is, Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur gives the following purport in this verse. Simply desiring mukti or liberation is insufficient. One must become factually liberated. When one understands the futility of the materialistic way of life, one becomes advanced in knowledge, and therefore he situates himself in the Vanaprastha order, unattached to family, wife, and children. One should then further progress to the platform of sannyas, the actual renounced order, never to fall again and be afflicted by materialistic life. Even though one desires to be liberated, this does not mean he is liberated. Only rarely is someone liberated. Indeed, although many men take sannyas to become liberated, because of their imperfections, they again become attached to women, material activities, social welfare work, and so on. So the second paragraph, which is quite a long purport, so we're just going to read two paragraphs. Gyanis, yogis, and karmis devoid of devotional service are called offenders. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Mayavadi Krishna Aparadi. One who thinks that everything is Maya instead of thinking that everything is Krishna is called an Aparadi or offender. Although the Mayavadis impersonalists are offenders at the lotus feet of Krishna, they may nevertheless be counted among the Siddhas, those who have realized the self. They may be considered nearer to spiritual perfection because at least they have realized what spiritual life is. If such a person becomes Narayana Parayana, a devotee of Lord Narayan, he is better than a Jivan Mukta, one who is liberated. or perfect. This requires higher intelligence. We've all heard of the famous verse in the Bhagavad Gita, right? 7.3. Does anybody know which one it is? Sasveshu. Yeah. Achidatuta, yeah. So among millions, thousands of men who endeavor for perfection, and those who have achieved perfection, hardly one knows me in truth. So when we hear verses like this, it can be quite off-putting in one sense, right? Because out of thousands of men that are achieving perfection, hardly one knows me in truth. And we may be thinking, well, you know, what chance do I have? Yeah? And it gets worse. In today's verse, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Sahasranam. Right? In today's verse, it's Koti Shu, which is among millions and trillions. Yeah? So that's like even more. You're thinking, oh, what's going on? What chance do I have? You know, but we have to understand what it means. There's a huge difference between those on the path of devotional service and those who are seeking other perfections, like the Mayavadis or the Yogis or the Gyanis. Their perfection is, let me become one with Krishna. Let me merge into Krishna's internal impersonal Brahman. And a yogi's perfection is, let me develop some yogic powers so I can control people or do so many things. Yeah. But the devotees are in a different league, in a league of their own, right? Prabhupada started the League of Devotees before he came to the West, because it's completely different to the Mayavadis and the yogis and the tapasvis and all them who are trying to achieve perfection in their own field. The devotees are in a completely different league. And what is the main difference explained in this verse? It is devotion or love for Krishna. That is the main difference. The Mayavadis and the impersonalists and the tapasvis, the yogis, they don't have any devotion for Krishna. Because they have desire to attain so many material things. The Prabhupada said it is like lusty desires they have. Whereas a devotee, their only desire is to serve Krishna and please Krishna. So we, in the line of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the Parampara, you devotees are very rare as well. No, here it says, one who's a Narayana Prayana is very rare. And then Narayana Prayana is one who is completely 100% dependent on the mercy of Lord Narayan in every angle of vision. But devotees are also rare because we are also on that same path. And by Lord Chaitanya's mercy, we can also achieve that same goal. So if we look at it like that, it's not so uninspiring. It's actually inspiring, actually. If you walk down Oxford Street, if you're doing Harinam down Oxford Street, so many people, like last night we were in London doing Harinam, thousands and thousands and thousands of people doing so much nonsense and sense gratification. But how many devotees do you see? Just a few. Yeah. So devotees are very rare. They're like jewels, you know. They said the most valuable jewel, the rarest jewel is a pink diamond. It's worth $4 million per carat. So devotees are like a pink diamond if you compare to everyone else in the planet, right? Very rare. And those who have achieved perfection, they're even more rare. They're even more rare than a pink diamond, maybe a black sapphire or something. I'm not an expert at jewels, but there's some rare jewels. So what does liberated mean? It means, liberated means to become free and enjoy eternal happiness. In order to do that, we have to become free from the modes of material nature. Right? It's not so easy. But we can, because the process is given. We can easily become free from the modes of material nature, practicing bhakti yoga. Right? But we have to focus on the goal. The goal is prema. You need to achieve some love for Krishna. So the yogis and that, they don't have an impersonalist. They have no humility, actually. You know, once someone asked Prabhupada, what is the definition of humility? Prabhupada gives so many different definitions. But this time, he said, when you know that not your family, not your country, not your bank balance, and even mentioned a gun, is going to save you, other than the mercy of Krishna. So that is in Narayana Prayana. They have complete and utter, complete 100% dependence on Krishna in every aspect of their life, you know. Because they are not afraid of anything. They're not afraid of any person. They're not afraid of any place. Prabhupada writes in the purport. For Narayana Prayana, heaven and hell is the same thing. So these devotees like Maharaj Pariksit, they're all Narayana Prayanas, you know? Because Maharaj Pariksit was dying, but he just accepted the curse. Even though he had the ability and the power to counteract it, he accepted it. He wasn't thinking, oh, no, this is wrong. Why are you doing this to me, Krishna? You know? Yeah. Sometimes when we ask, you may ask a guest or someone, are you chanting your rounds? Excuse me. And they say, oh, I don't have time. And then I might say, if I've got a relationship with them, I'll say, but will you have time for death? When death comes, will you say to him, I haven't got time? But that is one thing we're all going to have time for, right? That's one appointment none of us are going to miss. we can come up with so many excuses, right? Oh, I've got to drop the kids off. There's so many after-school events. I haven't got time. Yeah, I've got to. I just had a promotion. My job's work. You know, my boss is working me to the bone. 60 hours a week. 60 hours a week. Or, you know, come back in a few years, death, because I've got to marry my daughter and my son. And when all that's done, come back, yeah? But, you know, death's not going to extend, because it's already written in the diary, our appointment with death, it's already there. And we're going to, you have to make it. Yeah? It's there. But a devotee who practices Krishna consciousness, he's not controlled by death like everyone else. You know? Because as soon as we open up the book and we hear and chant about Krishna, our life is eternal. Because ultimately that's where we're going. You know? No longer death. Although we do die, we give up this material body, but not the same. Yeah. Because devotees are serving Mukunda, Krishna, the giver of liberation. But it's not liberation that devotees are really interested in, right? So there's five types of liberations. Yeah, the Sujya Mukti, merging in the impersonal Brahman. Anyone else? Sarupya, Samipya, Shashti, yeah. So being in close contact with the Lord, having the same form as the Lord, living on the same planet as the Lord, having the same opulence as Krishna. Those four are higher than the first one, Sayujya. For a devotee, Suvijja is like going to hell. Because in Suvijja Mukti, that is the mukti the impersonalists are aiming for, there's no activity. And therefore there's no devotional service there. And if they can't perform devotional service, then what is the point of a devotee's life? So for a devotee, you know, you may as well be in hell. But they're also not even interested, the real devotees are not interested in any mukti, even the other four. Why would they not be interested in the other four, even though the other four are connected to Vaikuntha, you know, which is going back to Godhead, it's serving Krishna, but why they would not be interested? Anyone? Yeah, they want to serve Krishna. Because Prabhupada said, liberated means factually becoming liberated, which means you can become liberated in this lifetime without leaving this body, right? One may question, well, how is that possible? That's Krishna consciousness becoming liberated from the three modes of material nature. Any other reason why they wouldn't want to? Sorry? Yeah, Vipralamba. Govinda. Yeah. That's the thing I was... But the other is also true. The main one is on the higher realms of devotion to Krishna or love for Krishna, they cannot have that exchange with Krishna in Vaikuntha. Because in Vaikuntha, it's all in reverence. Whereas in Vrindavan, it's Raganuga Bhakti, spontaneous Bhakti. Because they want to become Krishna's father. They want to become Krishna's friend, Krishna's lover. These higher realms of devotion are not possible through any of the types of mukti. When the Pandavas were banished to the forest and no one knew where they were, Narada Muni came to see Krishna. And he said, Krishna, he said, since the Pandavas have been associating with you, they've lost everything. By your friendship, they've become bereft of their claim to the throne, to the kingdom of the world. And even more so, they have to go to people's houses and clean and do laboring work. Could you imagine the Pandavas, how powerful Kshatriyas they are? They're now going to people's houses doing laboring work. But, he said, but even though all that, they still do not stop loving you or showing, you know, respect and showing love in friendship. They still haven't stopped doing that. So that's a devotee, actually. Yeah. They're not interested in anything material. Externally, it may seem so difficult situation, right? The Pandavas are going to people's houses, they're in a forest, they're doing menial work. Externally, it seems very unorthodox. But internally, it's a completely different affair. Because that's liberation. It's an internal affair. It's not an external. We look at the external so much, even in our devotional service, you know. I need to do this, I need to do that, this, that. But what's the main thing that we should be focusing on? What is it? What should we be focusing on? Thank you. Yeah. We'll come to that later. Yeah. Huh? Pleasing Krishna. And how do you please Krishna? When you... Sorry? Yeah. Chanting. Yeah, remembering. Krishna wants us to develop some love for him. And all these processes of Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaran, these are the activities of our sadhana to help us develop love for Krishna. Prabhupada was saying in the class the other day that we have to become Krishna's family. We have our family here, but it's all temporary, right? Prabhupada was saying this in class. We've had so many trillions and trillions of families, but we don't remember anyone else. We only remember the family we have now. But do we think that's going to last forever? But what we really need to do is focus on becoming Krishna's family. And the way you do that is you need to hear and chant about Krishna regularly and develop an attraction for that. And then we can, at the time of death, we can think of Krishna, and that's where we go. Because the impersonalists, they're going through so much trouble to achieve their goal, right? Even the materialists, they have their goal, but they go through so much difficulty, so much trouble. But what are the devotees doing in Vrindavan? They're riding on Krishna's shoulders. Right? There's a story, the cowboys in Bandiravan. Krishna plays with the cowboys, and the winners have to carry the losers. So Krishna's team lost. So Krishna had to carry Sridham. And all the other boys are telling Sridham off, you can't carry Krishna. He's very delicate. He's the prince of a king, you know, Nanda Maharaj. And Garga Muni said he's equal to Lord Narayan. So you can't carry him. But Sridham said, no, I'm going to carry him regardless. You know, he may be delicate, but he milks cows and he carries milk, you know, containers of milk on his head and on his shoulders. So he jumped on Krishna's back and they went to Bandiravat, a place in Bandiravan. They went all the way to Bandiravat and back. And then Sridham jumped off of Krishna's shoulders and he was like, yeah, I rode on Krishna's shoulders. And then all the other boys were like, oh, okay, now you can't play with us. So Sridham was sitting on his own, lamenting. Not because he couldn't play, but because he couldn't be with Krishna. And then he felt Krishna touching him on the shoulders. He turned around, it was Krishna, and Krishna said, friend, he said, I am yours to do with what you please, you know. You're saying to Sridham, you can do what you want with me, I'm yours to do whatever. That's the relationship a devotee has with Krishna, you know. And then Krishna said, if you were as heavy as Mount Meru, and if I was the son of the emperor of the world, if I was Lord Narayan, I would still find it a privilege to carry you. And then Sridham said, oh, am I not a burden to you, Krishna? And then Krishna said, he said, Sridham, it's not by the muscle of, it's not by my muscles I carry you, but by my love I carry you. Yeah. So Krishna consciousness is reciprocation. The devotee has love for Krishna, and then Krishna reciprocates. Like that. Right? We're all here today because we're feeling something. Yeah? We're feeling some reciprocation coming from Krishna. And according to the degree of our sender, to that degree Krishna reciprocates. Yeah. Prabhupada quoted a famous English poet, William Cowper. Anybody heard of him? William Cowper? probably not famous now. It might have been famous when Prabhupada quoted him. But he said, England, with all thy faults, I still love thee. Prabhupada said, this is love. So many faults, but still love. And then Prabhupada said, just like the gopis saying, Krishna, whether you embrace us, or whether you show indifference or kick us, we still love you. And what did Krishna do? He left Vrindavan and turned the lives of the gopis completely upside down. But did they stop loving Krishna? No. So this is love. The devotees are the best of all those who are liberated because they have love. But it's not ordinary love that's been spoken about here. It's unconditional love. And that is the point that we all need to come to at one point in our spiritual life. We have so many conditions, right? Krishna, if this is good, you know, if I get 7 hours of rest, I'll go to Mangalati. If not, forget it. If the weather's nice, I go out and Harinam. If it's raining, forget it. I've got something else to do. So many conditions. But we have to, Krishna wants us to slowly, slowly come to that unconditional state of devotional service. Unconditional. And because of that, the devotees are the only ones that are peaceful. Everyone else is not peaceful because they have so many wants, so many desires from Krishna. I want this, I want that. The impersonalists want liberation. Again, the yogis want some yogic power. Therefore, they're all disturbed, unhappy. And therefore, because the devotee desires nothing, he's completely protected by Krishna as well. It says in Narayana Prayana, he's not scared of any person, he's not scared of any place, because he knows that Krishna is protecting him or her. Don't understand the sexes. So Krishna, there's that pastime where when Nanda Maharaj was taken by one of Varuna's servants in the Yamuna, and Krishna jumped in there to save him. Krishna went to Varuna, and Varuna apologized. He said, oh my sir, he didn't know what he was doing. I didn't know he took Nanda Maharaj, and it was a mistake. And Varuna and all his servants were paying obeisances to Krishna. And then Nanda Maharaj, when he came up, he was thinking, why are they paying obeisances to my son? You know? He's just a simple cowherd boy. Varuna is like a king of the demigods, you know? The water. Varuna is the water god, right? Why are they showing him so much respect? And then he told the other coward men. And then they were thinking, oh, Gargamuni's already said that Krishna's equal to Narayan. So by your words, Nanda Maharaj, maybe Krishna is Narayan. So then they were thinking, oh, one coward man said, oh, okay then, so Krishna should show us. He should make us, he should give us liberation. Another coward man said he should show us or make us residents of Vaikuntha. And then another one said that he should show us his eternal abode. So then, you see, because the residents of Vrindavan, they don't know Krishna as a Supreme Personality of Godhead. They're acting like conditioned souls. So that's why they're coming up with all these things. And this is how they can have that spontaneous relationship with Krishna. So then Krishna was thinking, okay, let me show them that these things they want are actually less than what they've already got. They're experiencing the highest perfection, prema, already. So then Krishna took them to Brahmaharad, a place, a ghat in the Yamuna somewhere. Also Akura ghat. Later, Akura sees Vaikuntha in that place. So then he takes them there, and then they see the all-pervasive Brahman, Krishna's impersonal energy. And it's explained that when they saw that, when they were experiencing the impersonal Brahman, they couldn't experience prema. They couldn't have any relationship with Krishna. There was no vipralamba, there was no meeting, none of this. And so they were like, for them it was like hell. So then Krishna took them out of that quickly. And then he showed them Vaikuntha and all the trillions and trillions of planets in Vaikuntha and all the opulence there. And they were amazed. It was like after being in the impersonal Brahman, it was like coming out of a bad dream. They were now experiencing Vaikuntha, but still they weren't happy. Because in Vaikuntha, they couldn't have a relation with their coward boyfriend, Krishna. Krishna had four arms, and he was surrounded by all this opulence and everyone offering prayers, and they were like, can't relate to this. So then Krishna showed them Goloka Vrindavan. In Goloka Vrindavan, the personified Vedas were offering prayers to Krishna. So Krishna was a bit indifferent to them. But they were like, wow, this is amazing. They could see everything, their own houses, their own barns and everything. So they knew that, okay, this is our residence. You know, we're residents of Goloka Vrindavan. Krishna showed them. You know? But still, even in Goloka Vrindavan, they couldn't have that relationship with Krishna that they usually do in earthly Vrindavan, because the Vedas personified were offering prayers and Krishna was indifferent to them. So then they realized that their position in this earthly Vrindavan is the highest position for them to be in, serving Krishna here in earth, on the earth. So Krishna showed them all the different types of liberation now. They weren't happy with any of it. They didn't want any of it. Just be on this earth serving Krishna. So the pure devotee is not interested in liberation, actually, at all. There's an interesting quote by Srila Baladeva Vidyabhushan, and he says that the Sankirtan movement in the material world is more attractive than even in the spiritual world. Have you heard that quote? He said it's more attractive in the material world because of the darkness of ignorance. You heard that? It's in Guru Maharaj's book. It's just like when you put something colourful in front of a dark background, it becomes clear and it becomes very attractive. Right? And this is why the devotee is not interested in liberation. He doesn't mind taking birth again and again in the material world, as long as he can be a part of the Sankirtan movement. All right? So according to Baladeva Vidyabhushan, that quote, if you go to the darker place you go, the more ecstasy you're going to feel. All right? So this is why Saturday night Sankirtan in London is the most blissful. Because it's a very dark place. I mean, yesterday people were even celebrating Halloween, I think. You know, while I dressed up ghosts and ghouls and all sorts of crazy things. Pretty dark. But as soon as they see the devotees and they hear the Sankirtan, the Mridangas and the Kartal, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It's so attractive because London is such a dark place. And people just, I mean, you have to experience it. You have to come on Saturday night, Harinam, at least once. It's amazing. Normal people just hanging out with their wives and their family just completely go crazy and they just start dancing with the kirtan. It's amazing. You really have to see it. Experience it to believe it, actually. And that's because the Sankirtan movement is so attractive. It's so attractive within this darkness of ignorance and this Kali Yuga. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, if you go to a place and preach, chant the holy name in a town that's never heard the holy name before, I will personally be there with you. And we were doing some Harinams in some weird places, right, Govinda? Barking Road, Canning Town. I mean, there are some weird people hanging around now. They're not normal. They're not human. They're like, you know, you're going down the street chanting and then you see these four guys in a corner somewhere. They're getting up to something really, really dodgy. But then as soon as they hear the Harinam, they see the Harinam, they all get up like this and they're like, Hare Krishna, and they're at, you know, phone. Everyone's getting their phones out. Why is that? It's amazing. Why is that? It's because Krishna is not different to his name, and it's so attractive. Krishna is the most attractive. Krishna means the all attractive, possesses all the opulences. So when you bring Krishna in the form of his holy name in these dark places, it just becomes, people just cannot, and their lives are so dark. That's the perfection of this movement, chant the holy name. All the studying we do, all this, you know, it's for, what is it for? If we're not experiencing, if we're studying and doing all that, but we're not experiencing the taste, then what is the point? One may question. So I'm going to finish the class with one verse from the Padyavali by Srila Rupa Goswami. Padyavali is a book written by Srila Rupa Goswami. It's nectar prayers by different Vaishnavas. So this is a prayer here by Ishvara Puri. Let a twice born enter the fearless kingdom of yoga, Vedic study, and solitary meditation in the forest. Let them become liberated that way. As for us, we will spend hundreds and thousands of births chanting the holy name of Lord Krishna, whose splendid dark complexion and yellow garments are like a host of blue lotus flowers blooming in a grove of yellow flower-bearing Kadamba trees. Hare Krishna. I'm going to finish there. Any comments or questions? I'm never good at answering questions. I've got my dear friend here, Govinda, who's ready to answer. Hare Krishna. Isn't it? No one? Utility is the principle, right? Is it? Utility? Principle? You can use everything in Krishna's service. It says lamp. So lamp means something which is glowing. Yeah. right? It's a lamp. Well, as long as you don't make it out of anything inauspicious, like cows or anything. Wax is okay. It's just a lamp. You're offering it to Krishna. Yeah. Utility is the principle. Taruna.
I was thinking when we were talking about families and children, wives, guys, or my hands, and it's like,
did I say that? Not quite. Yeah, sure, yeah. Yeah, of course. when you hear, don't be attached to your family, and we have to develop real attachment for Krishna's family, like Prabhupada mentioned in class the other day, that means don't be attached on a material platform. Right? But you're attached on a spiritual platform, because what do you want? What is the purpose of having a family? It is to take them home back to Godhead. Right? And that's our eternal place. All right, so we have to understand what it means. Not materially, but spiritually. And of course, we have to do our material duty. Right? Because if we don't do our material duty, then we're not going to do our spiritual duty. but don't be attached on a material platform. Like my family isn't mine to enjoy. They belong to Krishna. And I'm just here. I'm just a guardian temporarily taking care of them. But but the goal is to take them back home, back to Godhead. And that's a bigger attachment, is it not? Than a temporary material attachment, which is, yeah, a material attachment is temporary anyway. The kids grow up and then they're gone. Most of the time, they don't even care about parents, right? But spiritually, it's just an eternal attachment. It has to do with way deeper than the material. Does that make sense? Of course, you wouldn't preach that in front of the kids. You know, you just, your parents, it's all temporary. You've got to be intelligent. There's no kids here today, right? Usually don't come to Bhagavatam or CC class. I think that she had it. Hand up, Mataji. But you know, the Sankirtan we do is just as much for us than it is for them. It's just as much for our own purification than it is for their purification. Isn't it? So therefore we should all go out sometime. Hare Krishna. Yes, should we? Because you're talking about Vaidhi Bhakti, following the rules and regulations. So, yes, Vaidhi Bhakti will lead us to Raghunuga Bhakti. we cannot pretend to be on the Raghunuga platform. It will be, but by following strictly the order of the spiritual master, because Shrivatam Svakata Krishna, Punya Shravana Kirtana, Riddhi Anta Stohi Bhadrani Vidanoti Sritsatam. Krishna's in the heart, and by hearing and chanting about Krishna, he purifies all the material desires from the heart to one who has developed a taste for hearing about him. And that's Vaidya Bhakti. We need to develop, we need to follow strictly the rules and regulations given to us by the spiritual master. And in this way, the heart becomes purified from all these misgivings, all these things which are stopping us from spontaneously loving Krishna. So the the program we have at the temple, this is all Vaidya Bhakti. Prabhupada's set it down in such a way that you're constantly hearing about Krishna. And in this way, the heart becomes purified. Does that answer your question? You sure? Give an example. Example? You said different. What's the difference between here and Sur Street? Is I go to Soho sometimes as well for the morning program. I like to go there. It's a different mood to the manor. The manor is a very big temple. Soho is a very small, close-knit community of devotees. And it's kind of probably impossible not to bump into Brahmachari and Haribol. Because they also have to go out together in Harinam on book distribution. But the general rule is you don't. Prabhupada said if you have some, if you want to talk to Brahmachari, it's pass the salt. Right, Prabhupada said. Can you pass the salt? Yeah, that's the, very formal reason. If it's connected to service, then you can speak. Socially, it's different. I don't know. It's generally, women don't speak to brahmacharis or even men unless you have some reason, if it's service or something. But it's not that we're impersonalists. It's not, I'm not going to look at the women, forget it, I'm going to fall down if I do that. No, it depends where you're at in your spiritual life as well. Are there any brahmacharis here? Yeah. Actually, brahmacharis are becoming a rarity, right? Especially at the manor. We need to start making more brahmacharis. All right? There's two brahmacharis here. Sorry? We have to be careful dealing with the opposite sex. Prabhupada uses the example of fire and butter. You put butter near fire, it's going to melt. So that's generally why we don't mingle too closely. Yeah. That's right. Yes. Are they just? Yeah, they're all eternal associates of Krishna. Krishna's constantly having his pastimes, like the sun is rising and setting. Krishna's pastimes are like that in a different universe. So at the moment, Krishna's having his pastimes in a different universe somewhere. And they are the same, because they're all eternally liberated souls. There's only one Nanda Maharaj. There's only one Mother Yashoda. You can't become a Nanda Maharaj. Although, if you have that propensity to serve Krishna in that mood of a mother or father, you take birth and you assist Nanda Maharaj or Mother Yashoda. Like that. They also expand.
Yeah, so if, for example, they've got Krishna either happening in another universe right now, but also like another universe.
There's only, yeah. You mean they're also in Goloka Vrindavan?
Yeah.
They're still there in the spiritual world. Do you want to say anything, Govinda? Yeah. I mean, they are eternal associates. Eternal means they've always eternally been there in that position. Just like, but sometimes there's certain pastimes that go on when Krishna's descending, and it may appear that Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj had to do so many austerities to get to that post. But their position is eternal. It only appears sometimes when Krishna comes to this material world, just for the sake of those pastimes. Right, Govinda? But eternal means eternal. You mean? Yeah. Three modes. Yeah, the main thing is, whatever we do in our spiritual life, we do it under guidance of the spiritual master. So the spiritual master is guiding us in every stage of our spiritual life. Yeah. So sometimes it may seem a bit immature doing certain things. Like I said, we cannot pretend to be on a Raghunuga platform. We have to strictly follow Vaidhi Bhakti in order to reach. But at the same time, if you want to reach the Raghunuga platform, you also have to do things which are also going to develop the fire of Raghunuga, which means hearing and chanting about Krishna, Krishna's pastimes, like that. Yeah, everything we do is trying to become free from the modes of material nature. you also have to become free, ultimately free from the mode of goodness, because that's also a binding factor to this material world, right? But we have to first come to the mode of goodness, and then once you're in the mode of goodness, you also have to get rid of that, come to Sudasattva. Because mode of goodness will, we can be very much attached to the mode of goodness. It's a very nice place to be. Right? You're regulated, your health's good, everything's nice. You know, finances are coming in. Mode of goodness, great. Let me stay here forever. Now, devotee means even get rid of the mode of goodness and transcend to Sudasattva. That's why we have to detach ourselves from all the material motivations which are stopping us from developing love to Krishna. It becomes, as we advance, it becomes more and more subtle. In the beginning, it's quite gross, the things we have to give up. Okay, you've got the four eggs, meat-eating, gambling, intoxication, and illicit sex. It's the basics. Then as you advance, it becomes more and more subtle what you need to give up. Yeah. Tea and coffee. Yeah, that's the advanced stage, yeah. Let me give up tea and coffee. Now it becomes more and more subtle, like things dealing with our own mind and attachments. Anyway, so Hare Krishna. I think we'll stop here now. Thank you. Jaya Gyantaraj, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki. Jaya.